And we know what some of the things that you're going to do for us in the future. We realize it's impossible for us to comprehend all that you have for us in the future. But we do thank you that we can know some. So we have no fear, but failing to trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning we were talking about the two questions that Paul mentions in verse 35. Let's look at those for just a moment again. It says, But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And we mentioned that that question is answered in verse 36. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not made alive except it die. In other words, there can be no resurrection unless there is death first. Death brings life. Now, I'm sure Paul has a double meaning here. We have to die before we can be raised. We are born dead, but we can be made alive. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ makes us alive. There has to be death before there can be life. Christ died in our place. He was buried. He arose again. And his death on the cross pays for our sins so that you and so that I can be raised from the dead. And we can be alive. Now, when we die, that's no big problem for the Christian. I've known of only one person that I knew of for sure that I had the funeral that was not saved. That was a terrible job to have to do. Probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life is to preach the funeral of a man whom we knew was not saved. He didn't want to have anything to do with God. He didn't want to have anything to do with the Bible. He was a vowed disbeliever. Said when he died he wanted to go to hell. And he did. And I had to stand to preach. What do you say? Well, the only thing you can say is something to the people who are there. That unless they, if they ever expect to go to heaven and have eternal life, they've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But we die, we can come alive. Christ died so that we can be alive. Now that's the answer to the first question. The second question is not quite so simple. And with what body shall they come? Now people are always interested in knowing what kind of body are we going to have in the future. And we attempted last Sunday morning to give a little bit, or Paul gives here quite a bit, about what our future body is going to be like. You know, I've got this body and this house that I'm living in right now. And even though I'm not completely satisfied with it, you know, it's still a pretty good house to live in. And I wouldn't trade it for anybody else's that I know of. I'm glad we can't trade off. But I'm not satisfied with it, and I'm sure you're not satisfied with it. In fact, we know all the ladies are not satisfied, otherwise they wouldn't stand in front of the mirror so long every morning. Of course, we men don't care as much. We're less concerned about the way we look. Maybe we ought to be more concerned. Would help other people out a good bit more, probably. But we are interested in our future bodies. And Paul does give us some instructions here about that. In fact, in verse 37 through 49, he gives us some instructions. And he talks about three different kinds of bodies. First, when he talks about his plant life. And he says there that when you put a piece of grain in the ground, what comes up, the stalk that comes up, is different from that little piece of grain. In other words, when you place a grain in the ground or a seed in the ground, the stalk comes up is a lot better than that piece of grain. It looks prettier, doesn't it? You've got a little piece of seed there, and it's not all that pretty. But what comes up out of that is a whole lot better. It's improved. And that's what Paul's trying to say there in verse 37 and 38. And then in verse 39, he talks about animal life. And he says that there are different kinds of even animal life. There is man, there's the flesh of man, there's the flesh of beast, fish, and birds. Now, there are several billion people in the world. several billion. How many of us look alike? I'm talking about exactly alike. There are no two people, not even identical twins. Now, I've known some that look a lot alike. In fact, in my last church, we had twins, and the parents got them mixed up all the time. Now, I caught something the first time I met them that was different, and I never missed them. I always could tell one from the other. It didn't matter whether they were together or separately. I always knew. But the parents never could get them straight. They always called the wrong one about 80% of the time. But they were different. And every person is different. Not only are people different, but then we also have beasts. We've got all different kind of beasts. And of all the different kinds, even within one class, they're all different. There's something different about every single beast. They're also birds, and they're also fish. And all of these are different. Now, what's Paul trying to tell us? He's just trying to tell us that even though we are going to be like Jesus Christ when we are raised from the dead, we're all going to be different and distinguishable. In other words, when you get to heaven, you're going to know that I'm Nat Clark. I'm going to look like Jesus, and I'm going to be perfect like Jesus, but I'm going to be still distinguishable as Nat Clark. You won't have any problem. You'll never confuse me with anybody else that's in heaven. You'll always be able to recognize me as who I am. I'll be able to recognize you. If you've got a loved one that's died and they've gone on, they were saved, when you get to heaven and you've trusted Christ, you say, you'll be able to recognize them. We'll know each other. Why? Because we're different. And God's going to make us different. And then he talks about another kind of body, and that's the heavenly bodies. And these are all different in glory, he talks about. They are celestial bodies, or they are heavenly bodies. They are terrestrial bodies, or earthly bodies. And then there's the sun and the moon and the stars. And the sun and the moon and the stars, they're all different as far as glory is concerned. The moon has its ecstatic value. The stars, you know, you get out, these young people particularly, I suppose the older people can't get out at night anymore. And they don't get to look at the stars too much. But the young people do, and boy, they get out there and they talk about them and they just gaze and look around and this kind of thing. Now the older people get to see the sun, and it has a different glory from the moon and the stars. What's Paul trying to tell us? That we are all going to have different kinds of glory. We're going to be in heaven, and we're going to have a glorified body. And it's going to be distinguishable. It's going to be different as far as the glory is concerned. And then in verse 42, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. That means we are born to die. We are born to deteriorate. And all of our bodies are deteriorating. In fact, the moment you die, are born, you begin to die. You head on the dying process. Even though you grow and you get bigger and bigger, you're still going toward death. You're going toward that time when you're going to be corruptible. And so it is sown in corruption. But notice, it is raised in incorruption. Our resurrected body is going to be incorruptible. In other words, it never will die. I know people who talk about the end times. And we hear a lot about end times today. And people are just all afraid and they're all upset that one of these days this whole world's going to blow up. Well, what's going to happen to me? There's nothing that can bother this body. I may die, and I may go into corruption, but it's going to be raised, and that resurrected body, nothing can bother. It cannot be blown up. It cannot be burned. One of these days, the whole heavens and the earth are going to burn with fervent heat, Peter tells us. It's going to either be fusion or fission, I don't know which. But it's all going to go. there's not going to be one splinter left on this old universe. The moon and the sun and the stars and the earth, every bit of it is going to go, and there's not going to be one solitary thing left. All the hardware that we've thrown up in the sky is going to be gone. Every star is going to be destroyed. But you know what's not going to be destroyed? My resurrected, glorified body. All that heat that can completely burn all the earth. I'm talking about this whole earth. Going to burn it up. All that heat that can destroy this is not going to destroy my body. That's a comfort, isn't it? Well, that's what Paul's telling us. You see, when God makes something, look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor, which means we are sown or we are born in sin or dishonor. But it is raised in glory. The resurrected body is going to be raised in glory. No sin or no dishonor. It is sown in weakness. It cannot please God. Our body that we have the first time cannot please God. It is weak. It is raised in power. We can glorify God in our body. It is sown a natural body, a soulish body. But it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, this is a natural body that I'm living in now. And it is corruptible. It is sinful. It's got all kind of weaknesses, all kind of problems. But the spiritual body that's raised will have no problem at all whatsoever. And not only that, but look in verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. When God created Adam, he created him as a living soul. What does that mean? Well, that means basically three things. Our soul means we have consciousness. We are conscious that we're here. Self-consciousness. To have a soul means you have moral reasoning power. You can determine that which is right and which is wrong. There is such thing as morals. Man does have value. We are not animals. And our soul tells us there's a difference between what I am and that animal that's walking out there in the pasture across the street. Now, there are people who say, well, there's no difference. But they don't believe that. Why? Because they won't let me eat them. But they'll let me eat that animal across the street. If I walk up and I slap them, they want to slap me back. I can walk over that animal and I can hit that animal. And that animal turns and runs. There's a difference. There sure is. Why? Because God created us a living soul. And not only do we have moral reasoning power, but we also have a will. We have a will. We decide. We can choose. Animals go on instinct. But we have a will. I can make the choice, a decision. I decided to marry my wife. I decided not to marry some other girls too. I decided to come to church this morning. There are people who decide not to come. You see, we can make decisions. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I decided to trust Him to pay for all my sins. Have you? There are those who have not. Maybe they're sitting in this audience this morning. But since you are a living soul, you have a choice. We're not robots. Man has a will. He said, for God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him. Is that not exercising your will? Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. It's based on your believing in Him. that you don't perish, but that you have everlasting life. And notice your faith is in Jesus Christ. It's not in this church. It's not in this preacher. It's not in your good works, but it's in Jesus Christ. You trust Him. And you have eternal life. So he says, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. See, by the last Adam. Now, who is the last Adam? That's the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is a life-giving spirit. You see, the first Adam threw us into a mess. The first Adam got us into sin. The first Adam got us in rebellion against God and out of fellowship with God. And if Adam had not done that, man would have stayed on the same plane that he was in. But now we come along, or God comes along and gives us a second Adam, and we leave the realm of just mere humans, and we become what? Sons of God. We bypass the angelic realm, and we become sons of God. Now, we're not gods, but we are sons of God. And that is a higher plane than what we had in the beginning. And so he says here that the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. He gives us eternal life. He gives us fellowship with God forever. And that is forever. However, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. In other words, the natural comes first. You have to be born in this world before you can become a spiritual person. Before you can become a son of God, you've got to become a son of man. You have to be born in this world. And then afterwards, the spiritual. You see, the new birth and regeneration comes after you're born. He says the first man is of the earth, earthy. What does that mean? It means the first man, God adapted him to the earth. God placed him here where he could live on this earth. On this earth, we have to have oxygen. So what does God do? He gives us oxygen that we can live with. We have to be adopted to adapt to this earth, we've got to have food. So God puts food on the earth. He fixed our bodies where there has to be water in our bodies, so we adapted for water. We can walk around on this earth and we can move and we can do certain things connected with this earth. But now, who can go up into the heavens? We can go a little bit up there, but we have to come down, don't we? Why? Why? We're adapted to this earth. And the first body that God gives us, this earthly body, is adapted for this earth. And if we get off of this earth, then we have to have some help to adapt to the heaven. But then, notice. He says, as the earthy, such are they that are earthly. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. In other words, our heavenly body, our glorified body, our resurrected body is going to be adapted to the heavens. I'll be able to do space travel without a spaceship. Won't have to take an oxygen tank with me. Won't have to take food. Won't have to take water. Because God is going to adapt my new body, my resurrected body, where it can go all through the heavens without any help from anything. And that's what he means here when he says, the heavenly body, such as they also that are heavenly. Notice verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Just like I resemble my father. I look like he did. I'm built like he was. I have a lot of same characteristics that he has. I am in the image of my earthly father. Now, I don't look exactly like him. I'm different. You could certainly tell the difference between what he was like and what I'm like. But we certainly are alike. The same way with my heavenly body. I'm going to resemble my heavenly father also. And I know when I do, there's going to be a lot of people who will be glad. And we're going to be glad when you resemble him too. So, as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because the flesh and blood is that which is adapted to the earth. And the kingdom of God is going to have to do with the whole realm of the universe. And the body that we have that will be adapted with that will not have what? It will not have any blood at all. In fact, when the Word of God talks about a resurrected body, it talks about it being as flesh and what? Bone. Never flesh and blood. It's always flesh and bone. No blood there. You see, the blood is that which carries the oxygen, that which carries the food. But we won't need it now. We'll be able to eat food, but we won't need it to sustain life. How do we know we'll be able to eat food? Well, after Jesus Christ arose from the dead, if you remember, he was down there on the lake and the men were fishing. And he was over there cooking breakfast for them. And he cooked some fish. Now, I never heard of eating fish for breakfast till I went to Israel. And they eat fish for breakfast. Very normal. In fact, all the places we ate where they had Israelis were cooking it, we always had fish. And they ate fish back in those days. And I suppose it's real good for you. Got a lot of protein in it to help you get through the day. And the disciples ate the fish, and Jesus Christ also ate the fish. And he had his resurrected body. So, you'll still be able to enjoy food. Now, some people live to eat. And so, they always want to know, will I be able to eat in heaven? Yes, you'll be able to eat. And you can, I suppose you can eat all you want, and you won't get fat. That'll be nice too. So he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You see, this is a corruption, this is not a body of corruption, but there are bodies of corruption. You see, a body of corruption is that one which is dead. And a dead body cannot inherit incorruption. It can't do it itself. It can be raised. So Paul says, I show you a mystery. Now, there are corruption, bodies of corruption, and people were always concerned, particularly back in those days, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ had come, he had died, been buried, and rose again, and they thought he was going to set up his kingdom right away. And they thought he was going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and here were people who were dying off. And boy, it bothered them. Well, these people weren't going to be able to be in the 1,000 years. They weren't going to be able to rule and reign with Christ. Well, these corruptible bodies can't inherit incorruption. But he says, I want to show you something. Something that's been hidden. Something that people didn't know. A mystery is that which was hidden in times past. He says, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be what? Changed. Not everybody's going to die, but everybody's going to be changed. We'll not all sleep, we'll not all die, but everybody's going to be changed in a moment. And this word moment is the word we get our little word atom from. And back in those days, they thought an atom was something that couldn't be split. That it was the smallest unit. And it is certainly a small unit, as he's talking about here. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Actually, in a glance. In just a glance of the eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In other words, those people who have died when that trumpet blows, and this is talking about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes there in the clouds, there's going to be a trumpet. Now, only the saved people will hear this trumpet, because this will be calling those who have trusted Jesus Christ, as they say, since the day of Pentecost, those who belong to the church, they're going to be called. They'll be down there in the grave. And we saw back in the 23rd verse of this 15th chapter that every man in his own order, every man in his own time, and there's going to be five different times when the people will be resurrected who have part of the first resurrection. Now Christ has already been raised. There have already been some people who will be raised. And then these people. We who know Christ as our Savior, we who are part of the church of Jesus Christ, we've been saved since Pentecost. In a moment, in a twinkling of eye, the last trumpet, those people who have died, they'll be raised, and notice, and we shall be changed. He says, for this corruption, or this corruptible, which means a dead body, for those dead bodies must put on incorruption, become a live body, a resurrected body. And this mortal, or this live body, must put on immortality. In other words, it's going to be changed. It'll become an immortal body. It'll never see death. Now you say, well, that's impossible. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Well, there have been people in the past who didn't see death. In the Old Testament. In fact, there are two people in the Old Testament that didn't see death. Who were those two people? Enoch. Elijah. They didn't see death. The Bible says they didn't. It says, oh, Enoch was walking out there one day with God, and he says he was not, for God took him, that he shouldn't see death. He just walked with God so much that God got warned to go home with him, and he says, Enoch, don't go back home today. Just come on with me. Boy, that was some kind of fellow, wasn't he? That he had walked with God, but he wouldn't see death. Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind. Didn't see death. Well, if two people in the Old Testament happened to them, it can certainly happen to us. Even if it didn't happen, it still could happen to us, though, couldn't it? Just because it hadn't happened in the past doesn't mean it can't happen in the future. A lot of things that hadn't happened in the past, that's going to happen in the future. I've never died in the past. I may die in the future. Well, he says, this mortal shall put on immortality. Look with me to Philippians chapter 3, if you will. In verse 20, it's on page 1283, Philippians 3:20. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. We're looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker, as someone said. We look from heaven for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies, our lowly body. Oh, this is a lowly body. That which we live in now. I don't know of anybody who's really completely pleased with it. Not anybody completely. Always trying to make it look a little better. Well, he's going to change our lowly bodies that it may be fashioned, it may be formed to make it like his glorious body, according to the working or the operating by which he is able even to subdue or subject all things unto himself. Oh, listen, when he changed our body, he's going to do it perfectly. It'll be perfect then. You ladies will have to get rid of all your cosmetics. Won't have to buy any more. Won't need your hairdresser anymore. Folks will be out of business.
He's going to give us an immortal body. Perfect. Perfect. Alright, back to verse 54. So when this corruptible, this dead body, shall have put on incorruption, resurrected body, and this mortal or this life shall have put on immortality, a resurrected body, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. All this death is a terrible thing. Oh, we just cringe every time we think about it. People dying. It doesn't matter whether it's a violent death or whether it's a slow death. But one day death's going to be defeated. Now, death has already been defeated. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross and was buried, he came up victorious. He wiped out the power of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? This word sting here is for the bite of a poisonous serpent. And death does have the bite of a poisonous serpent. Oh, that man that I buried that was unsaved. There's nothing more sobering in all of my life. There's nothing that shook me up as much as that has or did. Why? Because it's such a final thing. Such a terrible sting. But Jesus takes the sting out of it. Oh, that's not buried many people who were saved. Who? As far as I'm concerned, there was no doubt at all. Their soul and spirit were up in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were up there rejoicing. Paul says, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm betwixt two. I have a desire to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's better for me to be here on the earth. Paul says, I don't mind dying. I'm ready to die. I want to die because I'll be with Jesus. But there are people down here on the earth who need to know about it. And it's more needful for me to stay down here. But I'd like to be up there. Now, why did Paul not mind dying? Because Jesus Christ took the sting out of death. And then your Bible says, O grave. But it should read, O death, where is thy victory? Death. Where's your victory now? Oh, it's been gobbling up people down through the centuries. But with Jesus Christ having died on the cross for all of our sin, and overcoming death by his resurrection, death doesn't have any victory anymore. But all who will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, the sting of death is sin. The venom of sin, death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God. Thanks to God who gives us the victory. Oh, listen, we can have victory this morning. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be afraid of death at all whatsoever. Why? Because of the victory of Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Do you have victory this morning in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you believed that he died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day? If you haven't, you can, right where you're sitting right now. Eternal life will be yours. The Bible never said you had to walk an aisle, join a church, be baptized, turn over a new leaf, live a good life. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Have you trusted Him? Have you put all of your dependence upon Him to get you to heaven? He died for you. He's taken the sting of death away and given us victory. We who trusted Him as our Savior. If you haven't, you can become one of that number this morning, right where you're sitting, right now. Trust Him, won't you?